morning. That was just it was really good, and just so moved by his courage, his perseverance, his faith. And I know that he has been a blessing to so many of you for several years, and I'm so thankful for the time that we've been here, that we've gotten to know him, well, all of you, but him especially. And he's just an incredible example of faith. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12 for the next couple weeks. So Paul hit on matters concerning the church assembly in chapter 11, really in chapter 10 as well, talking about this issue of head coverings. We talked about a couple weeks ago, and then last week we talked about what we saw there in chapter 11 concerning the Lord's Supper and the way that they were handling that or mishandling that, and perhaps through the way that they were partaking in the Lord's Supper, it was, instead of a demonstration of unity that it's supposed to be, it was another sign of the disunity or the division within the congregation. So that's incredibly problematic, as Paul has mentioned so many times in 1 Corinthians, that the church is one, a unified body. And guess what? We're going to see more of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning at verse 1. Here we go. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, or as we know, the charisma, where we get the word charisma, or charismatic, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed, or as some translations say they're the, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute or dumb idols. So the idea here that Paul is mentioning is that they were repetitively led away from the right path before they came to know Jesus. It says, from the influences that were surrounding you during that time, you were actually led further away from God. Verse 3, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, or Jesus anathema. If someone says that, this is my understanding of this, if someone says that, they are completely and absolutely in error. We get that. And no one can say, Paul continues, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. One commentator, Leon Morris, says this is the touchstone of spiritual gifts. The lordship of Jesus is the touchstone of the Spirit. The possession and the utilization of the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirits, which is going to be addressed in this chapter, and really in chapter 13 and 14 as well, it leads to a recognition of the lordship, the authority, the prominent spot of Jesus Christ in one's life, and of course within the life of the church as well. The recognition of the lordship of Jesus isn't ultimately, we can believe, discern this from verse 3, it isn't ultimately about human discovery. It comes from the work of God within a person's heart and mind. Thinking about the context here, 1 Corinthians 12, as we're going to read here in just a moment, I think this is really important. The life that's lived under the authority of Jesus Christ, it begins with the work of the Holy Spirit. It begins with the work of God. So immediately, what we're going to see in here in chapter 12 is that this understanding of God as it relates to spiritual gifts, it levels the playing field. One's recognition of the lordship of Jesus comes again from the work of the Spirit in one's life. We're all saved by God, by His mercy, and His grace, by the gift of Jesus Christ. So this pulls the rug out from underneath the idea that one can become arrogant because they are God's gift to the church. This is all about what God is doing within us at a personal level and also on a communal level as well. Verse 4, Paul says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit gives them or distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So what we see here are two fundamental truths to understanding what Paul is going to be saying here in chapter 12, 13, and 14. Truth number one is there are different kinds of gifts or different kinds of service, different kinds of working. Paul uses that kind of language here in verses 4 through 6. We see these within the life of the church. And we see this all the time in songling and preaching, gifts of compassion. Some are equipped and have the talent to teach a children's Bible class. For others, would say, "No way! I'm never going to touch that. It's not going to work out for me." So there are different kinds of gifts. So that's truth number one. Again, this is fundamental to understanding chapters 12 through 14. The second truth here, it's fundamental. The gifts come from God, and as Christians use these gifts, God is working in the believer. God is working in the individual, and God is working in the life of the community. So, truth number one, diverse set of gifts. Truth number two, same God at work in the life of the believer, the life of the community. Understanding the nature of God here is really helpful to understanding Paul's teaching in verses 5 through 6. So he mentions the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So about God's, what we could use different language here, but about God's three persons, we've got God the Father, generates things. Things originate with Him and flow from Him. God the Father is certainly equal with the Son and the Holy Spirit, but things start with God the Father. The Father sent both the Son and the Holy Spirit to the world. And then we think about God the Son's role. He's our atoning sacrifice. He's the mediator between believers and the Father. And as Emmanuel, He is prophet, priest, and king who exemplifies how we are to live our lives. And of course, God the Spirit. The Spirit helps us pray. This is Romans 8, 26 and 27. He is our comforter. He helps us to understand God's word. He convicts us of sin. He helps us to live in holiness, and of course, like the fruit of the Spirit. He gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. And He helps us to share our faith, thinking of a passage like Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So here's the main idea. Here's why I just mentioned all of that. God in Himself is unity in diversity. God is one, God is three. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. There is unity in diversity. Diverse gifts and working, but unity in purpose and will. Think of, whenever I think of unity in diversity, think of an orchestra. Here you have many different instruments from the, think of the strings family in an orchestra. You have a violin, which is the smallest of the stringed instrument. Then you have what's it called? Cello, yeah, it's big, huge stringed instrument. Both of them are necessary for creating the kind of music that the orchestra decides to make or wants to make. They're different, but their purpose is the same, to create beautiful music, and that happens as they work together. I think that the picture of an orchestra for me helps me to understand this idea of unity in diversity. Starting at verse 7 now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So there's something really important there that Paul says. The gifts of the Spirit are not given for one's own personal sense of achievement or advancement. Verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Okay, here's a disclaimer. Much is going to be said about these various gifts over the next few weeks as we continue to dig in to this section of 1 Corinthians. And a whole lot is going to be said about the gift of tongues when we come to chapter 14, because Paul is going to specifically address that gift. And so we're going to leave those discussion of those gifts for another time. What we need to see here, I think, at this point in our study, verses 7 through 11, is that six times Paul mentions that the gifts come from the Spirit. Why the repetition? Think about that for a second. Why six times in these five verses does Paul mention that these gifts come from the Spirit? I'm going to offer two reasons, I think, that he has the repetition here. The first is what one brings to the body is a gift from God. You need to drive that point home, that what we offer to the body, gifts, talents, abilities, they are originate from God Himself. So, and this is going to be huge when we get to the gift of tongues, as we're going to see in chapter 14, we shouldn't become arrogant or prideful because of all the giftedness that we bring to the church. What would the church be without me, after all, right? We shouldn't have that kind of arrogance and pride. It's coming. The gifts, the talents, the abilities, all that we bring to the life of the community is given to us by God through the Spirit. In a look-at-me culture like we live in today, and I think like the Christians in Corinth did 2,000 years ago, this is very challenging to us. Achievement, advancement, the pride that comes from our own work is something that we take very seriously. And so this runs in the face of a look-at-me culture. As we work within the life of the church, the community, all that we bring is because of what God is doing through us, or God is doing in us and through us, through the power of the Spirit. And ultimately, it's about glorifying God, not ourselves. So first is what we bring to the body is a gift from God. And second is like it, but just a little bit different. If the gifts are coming from God, we should be extremely mindful of how He wants these gifts to be used. So I'm going to say that again. If the gifts are coming from God, from the Spirit, then we need to be extremely mindful of how He desires those gifts to be used. Verse 11 again. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines.